This is a replay of the Thursday night, June 8th, WGN show. We started after the Stanley Cup Finals around 10:45. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope to rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got about 2.5 hours to spend together, give or take 10 minutes, and I hope you'll join me. There's plenty on my mind, and I must say I don't think that I can top the excitement of an overtime game in the Stanley Cup Finals, but I'll try. Your help would be appreciated on that. 888-876-5593. We're going to have an update on Scotty from Dennis, and hopefully hear from you too. But a couple things that I was noting, always looking for things that might be interesting to share with you. And this is an interesting story. It's a woman who normally doesn't go on Facebook, and this is in the UK, by the way, but did last January. She was looking for information on friends, and she stumbles across a video of from a restaurant. Now, we're not going to name the restaurant because it's highly likely that all this is a publicity stunt by them. Who knows, though? Everybody swears that's not the case. But nonetheless, it's a restaurant in Great Britain, and they have a 4-minute video or so of people enjoying the newly refurbished decorations and the wonderful food and all that. And so here is the woman, Lucy is her name, who damn near falls over when she sees it. And she says, "That's my husband." Now the problem with this is her husband was dead about 9 years by then. "That's my husband and my son." And she said, "Oh my God, it's Harry." She knew it immediately, but she backed up the video and watched it about 30 times. And said, "No doubt, in my mind, that was my husband." All right. So the reason she was positive is his distinctive look, his big build, his white hair, what he was eating, actually. And so Lucy became convinced that this was an old clip that the restaurant was lying about, the video being filmed days earlier. And she said, "Well, there haven't been that many people in it lately, and this isn't recent." Well, the restaurant protested and said, Nope, we want to verify the misunderstandings. It's recent, and if you look at the tablecloths and all the other decorations, you'll see that before 2023, we didn't use those tablecloths or tables. It had to be recent footage. This is unusual, and we hope we can clarify it. So the rumors continued, and then, of course, people online said, well, her husband faked her death, his death. Now, the problem with that is that she was with him in the hospital in his final days. He was very sick for a protracted period of time. He was waiting for a liver transplant. Unfortunately, he didn't live long enough to get one. So the idea that he faked his death to get out of the marriage or something like that, no, she basically saw the guy die. So what's the deal? And I've been wondering about this for a long time. Well, it turns out the restaurant now posts another video and still and said, "Below is our customer that was captured in one of our recent promo videos. We can confirm he is not Lucy's husband. As much as we wish our curries would bring people back from the dead, this was not the case. Our video has spread through all corners of the world." I still say that was the intent. That's why we're not mentioning the name of the restaurant. "And it's a pleasure meeting new customers, I guess." And so the managers of the restaurant claim, well, that's the deal. Now, what's not addressed here is Lucy claimed that her husband was eating with her son. Now, what I don't know there, and what the Mail publication in Great Britain that interviewed her failed to ask, I don't know how, is, well, wait a minute, Lucy. Can't you tell how old the clip might be by, in fact, the age of your son? If this was 10 years ago, he would have been considerably younger. Well, that never did come up. But so we absolutely don't know what this was. But Lucy is firmly convinced that, no, none of this matters. That's my husband on the video. And the the restaurant is saying, no, and it couldn't be, assuming that he, in fact, did die in front of Rise, which seemed to be the case. So what's going on with that? So, yeah, I share that to begin with, because I think it's one of those things that will certainly get you wondering. But, oh, man, I have no shortage of that. Trust me. We then have, I started to touch on this story, but there's more on it. It's a woman in Florida who was accused of killing her husband, a Disney worker, and sure enough, her lawyers are firmly saying that no, a 7-year-old confessed to the crime. And attorneys for the woman who was facing charges for the 2005 death and burying his body in her backyard now is saying with a straight face, the woman and her attorneys, that a 7-year-old committed the crime. So she was released on bond about 3 years ago after she was accused of shooting her husband, the mechanic, who was 36 years old at the time, once in the head, wrapping his body in a sheet, and burying him beneath a concrete slab and fire pit outside their home in Claremont, Florida. And so her defense, with a straight face, I mean, those are the charges, that's the evidence, are saying, we have testimony from a minor child who confessed to having committed the murder in this matter. And so what her attorneys are asking for is a psychological exam of the child. Yeah. And saying the minor has exculpatory information. We're concerned about the child being excluded from the trial because of the emotional atmosphere. So we also want expert insight along with the psychological evaluation. So the minor, who is now 14, would have been 7 years old at the time. And according to the motion, he wants to testify. Oh, man, can you say three-ring circus? I guess not. After her husband's death, the not-grieving widow apparently told her boyfriend at the time and the father of her two youngest children that he was no longer on earth. Something bad happened on the property. And there were bloodstains in the back of a sliding glass door that led from the Shaver's dining area to their backyard. And apparently the non-grieving widow posed as her deceased husband in social media messages to family, used his credit card to make various online purchases, tried to sell his guns and vehicle after his death. But a 7-year-old did it. I love it. The court previously denied a defense motion seeking an evaluation for this minor in question. But they're renewing the request. They are continue to thoroughly embarrassing themselves. And so apparently they don't address how the body wound up in the backyard. But they say it's exculpatory. Yeah, man. So I can't imagine the judge will, in fact, go along to have that child examined. But maybe they will. And that could truly be a sideshow, to say the least. And I've got many more. Yeah. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Oh, we've got the funeral for the 10-year-old girl, where the funeral director guns down a pallbearer. Oh, man. All right. So all that and more. We'll have Johnny in Austin talking more about endorsements. Yeah, Dennis in Colorado, like I say. Ooh, he sent me a lot of stuff on Scotty, you know. So we'll find out the rest of the real deal. And there's room for you, too, coming up on WGN Radio.
But I'm only dreaming, darling, because I know you want to be free. I've been knowing for a long, long time just what's been on.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, that's Eddie Holman. Yeah, he's my favorite Eddie Holman record, too. 1969 on ABC. Got to number 30 on the R&B charts. Did not chart pop. He turned 77 last Saturday and still in Philly and still going strong. So, 888-876-5593. I think so. R-O-L-L-Y-E. You spell it. Johnny is in Austin. So, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. I didn't know that you had Dennis waiting to talk about Scotty. If you do, I can call back later.
Oh, no, no. I figure, because we're getting close to top of the hour here. I got about 4 minutes, and then I figure next hour we'll talk to Dennis. And if we still have stuff to say, call me back after that. So, what's up?
Okay. Well, you were talking the other night with a listener about this Dave Ramsey deal, about him endorsing this get-out-of-your-timeshare deal. And
yes.
Came up back and bit him.
Yes.
Well, it looks like it did, but you were talking about live endorsements, and those of us who had been in this business for so long, we all encountered the salesperson that would come running in and say, "Oh, I got a good one for you."
Yeah.
And you would say, "What?" But I'll tell you what, that is, if you've got a credible name to dive into that, you better be, as a radio or TV person or a sports, any type of personality that's got a good name out there, before you go attach your name to somebody you don't know, you better really check them out.
Oh, absolutely. And so many people do not do that and don't understand that it is their credibility on the line. And, you know, there were stations, of course, we all used to love XERF. And, of course, that started out with Dr. Brinkley. But even later in the Wolfman days, you know, the kind of stuff that he peddled was absolutely unbelievable. You know, the virility pills and everything else.
It's all in that book, The Border Blast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, you know, and of course, it's hilarious to hear some of that stuff. And I think it was Paul Callinger was the bass voice of some of the stuff that they would sell.
Oh, yeah, your good neighbor along the way, Paul Callinger.
Right, right, exactly. Always good to know we have some fine people out there listening to the most powerful commercial voice in the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was kind of a personality all his own.
Absolutely, and obviously would sell anything. And that's fine, because as far as I know, we can't associate anything else with Paul Callinger. But, and you know, Bill Mack used to be on XERF hawking that stuff before he went to BAP, too. But in any event, I digress. But you're absolutely right that the hidden cost of this, even without litigation, is your reputation. And, you know, the listeners don't know the difference between a live read and endorsement many times as well. So even with that, you better stand up for yourself and make sure the copy isn't putting you in a bad light.
Well, I was always careful about car dealerships. I'm like, whoa, no, wait a minute.
Well,
and I did find a couple of them that were upstanding, good companies with good reputations that weren't playing games with people.
But most of them on those live reads were the kind of people who would sell the same car 10 times because financing here, you know, they just take back the car.
No, the few that I ever did, and I think there was only two of them, were very reputable and no games, no high pressure, none of that, because that could have been the worst. And then, of course, you know, another thing that these salespeople were notorious about, we're selling remotes.
Oh, God, yes, I know. Next to infomercials, that is the worst. You betcha.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've ended the hour. Call me back later. We'll talk more about it.
Sounds great.
Okay,
I'm
great. Thanks.
Here, Dennis.
Okay. Yeah, me
Thank
too.
You so much.
All right, and we will get to Dennis, and who also sent me some pictures, and it's a very interesting story. We'll find a little more about Scotty. Leah did her audition. We're going to hear from that. Don and Beloit. Yeah, back to Dave Ramsey. So attendance is taken. You will join us, and hopefully call too on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Junior. Yeah, Norman Giscom from London, who had a huge hit with that in 1982. Number two on the R&B charts, 30 on the pop charts on Mercury. And he was quite young. In fact, proof of that, he turned 66 this week. So happy birthday to Junior. All right, 888-876-5593. Dennis, we are indebted to on every level, taking of his time and energy to figure out the riddle of what really happened with Scotty. And boy, we now know, and sadly, Scotty is no longer with us. But Dennis is here to talk about it. So, Dennis, thank you for all the pictures.
Well, you're very welcome, Raleigh. First of all, I've got to say, boy, that must have been some beefy 7-year-old kid to do all that stuff.
Yeah, I know. Well, I can't believe the lawyers are going at it again. I mean, you know, I've heard about the Hail Mary passes, but how can you with a straight face file that?
Well, this kid must have been recruited by the local high school football team as a halfback while he was busy burying his father.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. But, you know, if you've ever, I'm sure you haven't, and don't go out of your way, too, but if you ever watch these cop shows and stuff, the yarns and tales these people will spin and just confidently sit there and lie to you and make up stuff when you have the evidence right in your hand, it's, I'm not going to say a high art, because they don't do it very skillfully. They just blurt out lies.
It's hilarious. I put it under, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
Yep. Anyway, I've been, the last week, my airplane's broke. One of the engines is off of it being repaired, so I had some time, and I was able to listen to some of the neat, heavy-hitting subjects you've had this week, like Wonder Bread and Grit.
Yeah, right.
And I tell you, I love it. It's very relaxing. You know, I'm doing all this work for my broadband company and trying to get the airplane fixed and trying to obtain alternate lift for my passengers. And it is, it's really, by the way, I got a Wonder Bread story for you.
Oh, yeah?
I haven't eaten the stuff in probably 20 or 30 years. But I do remember it was very sweet and soft and, you know, just dense enough. It toasted nicely, tasted good. But I swore off that stuff a long time ago. And then when Continental Bakery got rid of it or did away with it or went under, whatever they did, and Bimbo took it over, I had some guests in the house last week, and they wanted Wonder Bread.
No.
But I tell you, it's not the same.
Firstly, you know it's people not... who wanted Wonder Bread?
Yes. That's a long story. But it is not the same. Now, you can still wad it up and plug your tub drain with it.
But yeah. You know, I do not remember how it tastes, to say the least. But what I do remember is you could turn it into Play-Doh very easily.
Yep. I agree. Grit.
Oh, man. So it doesn't taste the same. Yes.
You mentioned Pat Boone, and the only thing musical I ever remember from Pat Boone is that novelty song he did called Grit.
Oh, well, you certainly remember Speedy Gonzales also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. And being from born and raised in California, my parents were both raised in California. They didn't know what grits were either, and I didn't.
Oh.
My parents came down to Pensacola, Florida, to the my commissioning ceremony into the Navy, and we went out to a restaurant, and there was grits on the menu.
Yeah.
And my dad says to this really nice waitress, what are grits? And she looked at us, and she said, y'all don't know what grits are? Stuff like that. Nope, different world.
Yeah, I love grits. Got to put a lot of butter on them, though.
Oh, you have to pollute them badly, yes.
Yeah, but they're great.
Sugar, butter. Yeah. I guess it's a healthy food if you like a lot of carbs.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything healthy about it, but who cares?
Well, if you haven't had anything to eat for a week.
Well, usually you have them with eggs, you know. In California, you're more likely to see hash brown and eggs for breakfast. But in the South, it's eggs and grits.
Give me the hash browns.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. It's fighting words. If you're from the South, they say, give me the grits. So it's what you're used to. And for anybody who's missed the joy of grits, it's like a porridge made from cornmeal is what it is. And I just love them.
Yep. I followed the story on AM radio being taken out of cars.
Yes.
I think that is losing steam. You know, I drive a lot of rental cars, and somebody in my company has a Tesla Plaid, which I drove the other day. Mm-hmm. And I look for AM. I can't find AM in it. It might be buried in some menu, but
nope.
There's no AM. And I always worried that...
Not in Tesla. They don't have them, and they won't have them. Yeah.
I was worried that an electric car would have a lot of noise. Well... Yeah. About 2 weeks ago, I went down to Cherry Creek Mall here in Denver and test drove a Lucid.
Uh-huh.
So, nice young lady, she gets in the car with me, and we pull out of that covered parking lot, and I probably get about 100 feet out of the parking lot, and I pull over the car and stop. And I said, how do you turn on AM radio? So, she didn't know.
Right.
So
right. It's on their menu.
I found it on the menu.
Right.
Yeah, and there it was. And surprisingly, it was very quiet and sensitive. I tuned in stations in Fort Collins, down to Colorado Springs, and the weaker ones around Denver, and it was just fine. So I was very impressed, even though it doesn't have any visible antennas sticking out of the car. It must be hidden in the windshield or something like that. But Lucid put it in, and I have not found a rental car yet that I have encountered that did not have AM. You kind of have to look for it, but... and most of them are just terrible because that little stubby duck that sits on top of the car is just an awful antenna for AM.
Well, and the other thing when you're talking about rental cars, I don't care if the rental car is 50,000 miles on it, you'd switch over to AM and nobody's even set the presets. They're still sitting there at 540, 1700, and on, unfortunately. Yeah, Lucid Motors in Casa Grande, Arizona, actually. Here, I was in a couple of their cars, and you can go to the menu and get AM, but here, none of the cars had any AM stations on it. So I'm glad to hear that at least in Colorado, they did.
Well, that's the first thing I checked on the car, and... Yeah. This lady that was giving me the demo, she says, I've never seen anybody do that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Exactly. So. And they're counting on it. But yeah, Lucent does. I knew it was on their menu because that was the first thing I did, too, when they have a display at one of the malls here. And, of course, got right in the car and looked for AM, you know, didn't even care about any other features.
Yep.
And there was.
No
stations. So I'm glad to hear at least in some places they got stations.
Well, I deliberately tuned for the weaker ones to check the performance of the radio.
Sure. Well, good. Well, that's Lucent's making Casa Grande proud. There, a lot of people like those cars.
Got quite a factory there.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to wind up a little more with this long journey on Scotty. You know, I wasn't happy with the information I had on the first trip there, and. So after my stuff in Ohio, I had the extra time because the airplane was down, so I drove back there. And I searched some property records and found out the name of the landlord and looked him up and gave him a call, had a very nice chat. Mm-hmm. Very nice man named Sid, mm-hmm. who just, and Scotty had lived there in this place for about 15 years, as far as I could tell.
Yeah.
Sid didn't know exactly, but quite a while. And just had nothing but praise for this gentleman. And what I also did, he did say Scotty was a religious man, a very religious man, so I started calling around churches. And I found one about 15 miles away that knew him and just gave me a very interesting story that Scotty sent donations religiously every month and a nice note and a note about current affairs. How is COVID doing? Are you doing okay? Do you have parishioners? And, you know, just mm-hmm. neat stuff. And they never saw his face. He never went to the services.
Oh, wow.
They called and asked him, "Do you want a ride to church?" "Oh no, I don't need it. I'm fine. Don't trouble yourself with it." But he, for years, sent in a donation every single month.
Wow.
And when I reached them, I called actually three times before I got somebody who could answer it, because there were other, various people in there, but I finally found somebody who's really a member and works there. And she said, "Yeah, we wondered what happened to him," because they didn't know either.
Yeah.
But, nobody that I talked to, the people in town, the people in the stores, his landlord, nobody knew about these various aspects of Scotty's life. Like, he could have easily said, "Oh, I'm on the radio quite often. Tune in and listen." Or he did brag about two sons he had. Mm-hmm. And that's about the only thing that I have found that he said to anybody that was self-serving. He was married in 1962 and had children, but his wife died at a very young age of 57.
Aww.
So the man had reason to, you know, call and complain or whine about how badly life's treating him, but he never complained to anybody. And he was always very giving. He worked at a local food bank, volunteered, and donated to them. I don't really have time to, you know, go into all the little tiny detail things I've learned. But his, losing a wife at that young of an age is, you know, is tough.
With several children. And that was the other thing.
Yeah.
There were children involved. And then I understand he had another long-term relationship, and sadly that woman died as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
She died after he moved into that place. Sid remembered her.
Yeah.
I looked her up, and a very Christian woman, Catholic, and just a blessed, blessed man in every way.
That's interesting. You really stumbled on so much, and much more than, you know, we'll list on the air, because Scotty sent me, Dennis sent me so many things. And the thing that struck me, in addition to Scotty being, very humble and very private, but was that 100% of it was positive. There was absolutely nothing. I mean, some of it was sad for sure, like the deaths and things like that. But there was absolutely no one anywhere, and you unturned every stone, who had anything other than glowing things to say about Scotty.
No, and when my first contact was Cameron, who was on a few weeks ago.
Right.
And as soon as I reached him, he just organically effervesced about what a tremendous man he was. Cameron was a little more reserved on the radio, I think, just because. But boy, you should have heard him on the first time. I mean, he was just—he just couldn't say enough. And I'm not done. It just is a personal thing, not for any particular reason. I want to see if the state has located descendants, children, grandchildren.
That's the thing that nobody's come forth. And I know that you had found that he had paid for his funeral, And so that, obviously, he died in the hospital, and they were aware of that, so that was taken care of. But but other than that, there's no evidence that any family member, we know on the air he had mentioned he had a niece, but no one's seen hide nor hair of her. And, you know, from what you knew about the kids and all that, no one knows what became there either. So it's really one of those.
Well,
what?
I'm sorry. All of these things were going on in the 60s and into the 70s. So these children are adult children.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe have passed on. They some of them had kids. So, and they scattered far and wide. I know that two of the boys, who Scotty was very proud of, according to Sid, were in the military.
Right.
One was in the Army. I don't know what the other one's service was. And for all I know, Scotty was, too. I don't know, because he just didn't brag on himself.
Ever. Right, right.
And he never complained about anything. The landlord, Sid, said he lived there for approximately 15 years, I'm guessing. I could probably figure it out, but he never asked for anything.
Wow.
Come fix this. Come do that. Never asked for anything. The man did not own a computer or a television set.
Oh, wow.
God bless him for that. I mean,
yeah.
When I first moved to California after training, I didn't have a TV set for a year and a half, and I didn't miss it.
Right.
So, you know.
Right.
But that is, you know, just a very, you know, an enigma, a very unusual man, and a and one that we should all look towards as an example of how to live your life.
Oh, absolutely. And it was a life well lived. And clearly, like we said from the start, he's in a much better place now. And if anybody deserves it, it's certainly him. And, you know, it's a wonderful story. I just think he deserved an outpouring of people to be there and all that. And who knows why they weren't.
Well, he was very private.
Yeah.
Nobody knew he was even in the hospital. And he had made those funeral arrangements 13-ish years prior and notified his landlord, if I pass on in my home, here's what I want you to do. And here, this, you know, this organization has my arrangements.
Right, right. So, and obviously he let the hospital know. You know, bittersweet. I mean, what a great guy.
Yep.
And clearly lived life on his own terms. So I know you could have found out a lot more. And I want to honor his privacy because that's what he wanted. You know, I'm sure based on a number of things that, you know, he was a performer and particularly on stage. And he did not wish to share that information with us, and so it goes with him, and that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That's the way he wanted it.
Right. I'll miss his
okay,
calls.
Okay, you're coming up on a break.
Well, thank you,
I will let you go.
I appreciate it. You're better at telling time than I say. You're better at telling time than I am. So thank you so much for doing all this.
Oh, no, thanks needed. You and the listeners deserve to know something because. And I've enjoyed the tributes that the listeners have given over the weeks to him, and I can sure see why they had an impression on him.
Absolutely.
A selfless man in every sense. And I've got lots more to talk about, but that's for another time.
Okay.
You and the listeners have a great night.
You too. Thank you so much, Dennis. All right.
Thank
so
you.
There you have it. Yes, and I have not forgotten. We will at some point get some of Scotty's calls together and do that for a night because they were just a joy to receive. All right, so we'll find out of what's on Donna Malloy's mind, Lee and Marcus Hook, how that audition went, and Michael, who's on the road, taking us for a ride, has got a request. We'll find out about that, too, coming up on WGN Radio.
Baby, you look so beautiful tonight. I've missed your soft, warm skin. And though we've had another fight, I knew that I'd see you again. And when I called you up and you were playing our old love song way down low, well, what else could I do but come right straight home to you? Just where I knew you'd be, well,
champagne and perfume. And the way that you're looking at me. Now I'm not saying this king-size bed ain't where it's at. Oh, no. But baby, I love you more, much more than that. Put your clothes back on. Let's take a walk outside. And if it don't work out, girl, well, we can say that we tried. Put your clothes back on. And maybe we can start talking again. You know it's so good to be lovers. Oh, but it's so great to be friends.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Joe Stanley. Put Your Clothes Back On. Billy Sherrill co-wrote that with Steve Davis, 1979 on Epic. Billy produced it, of course. And Joe Stanley turned 80 this week. Yeah, before that he was in the Uniques, so we got to play Not Too Long Ago. Yeah, I'm Paula. But as far as all his Epic stuff, some of the big hits, I think that was my fave. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. All right, so before we get to Michael's request and Leah's auditions, Don and Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't know if anybody's done it yet, but, you know, I'm going to nominate now, okay? Caller of the Year, Dennis, okay?
I agree. Yes.
So, you know, when you have the awards banquet,
we'll
get everybody, you know, banging on our little dishes.
Yeah, at Sonic.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. That was really moving to hear that. I really appreciate you guys talking about that. You know, I probably feel the same way you do about Pat Boone and everything. Sorry, I was going over on Pat Boone now, but hey. We got Ain't That a Shame to thank. You know, at least that was his number one hit. And the very, very first crossover song ever.
Many people wouldn't have heard it if it weren't for that. And again, it was on Dot, and Randy Wood was the guy who sponsored the WLAC R&B. So anybody who thought that he was giving short shrift to R&B doesn't understand how that worked.
Right. And Fats Domino totally loved that. You know, he liked Pat Boone doing that, helping him out.
Well, especially when the artists wrote the song, it was great. Now, in some cases, they didn't get paid, and it had nothing to do with Randy Wood or Pat Boone. What would happen on that case is the record label would get the money, like Art Rupert Specialty, and then maybe he wouldn't pass it on to the writer, who in the case of this would have been Richard Penniman, Little Richard, so on some of the stuff. So I know that happened. So, it depends on the deal. But for most of these artists, it was greater success than it was a liability. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, of course, if I went running around my town asking 100 random people, they'd all say, "Oh, that song was written by Cheap Trick."
Oh God!
You know, of course. Live, like any other teenager, Live at Budokan was a great hit when I was a kid. And Rick Nielsen said that he got the idea from a John Lennon cover of that a few years earlier.
Well, it's not surprising.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say, you know, I appreciate you telling me about the pod. I caught up with you and I did your podcast and I heard what you said about the loss, the big lawsuit that Dave Ramsey.
Uh-huh.
I'm just a scientist, you know. I can see, you know, both sides. I'm not taking a side in any of this, but I kind of like Dave Ramsey a lot. I like his books for kids. His books for teenagers are amazing. You know, him and his wife's story of their early losses and bankruptcy.
Sure.
I mean, it's very moving.
Now, we don't have enough information to, and that's what I was trying to make as a point yesterday, to draw a conclusion. Because when we're talking about this, we have to know the text of the endorsement commercial. What did he say? Number one, and number two, if there were things that he said where they were true endorsements, what did he know, and what should he have known? You know, there's a lot of legal issues in this, and that will play out, no doubt. But I do think that a lot of hosts do not realize that they are putting their reputation on the line each time they endorse anything, and so don't do it for a quick buck.
Right. Well, this is my short little, as a scientist, math equation. I did listen to quite a bit on the internet and some YouTubes and some commercials. Mm-hmm. I did do a little bit of research on that before your show. Your podcast got me a little bit excited on that.
Mm.
I mean, let's say you or your spouse, you know, took out a timeshare in 1982 and you're costing you like $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in deep for, let's say, $120,000 a decade. And then, you know, decades later, that's jacked up to, let's say, $250,000 a decade.
Right. And then, by the way,
generation, you're out a million.
Well, and then, by the way, don't forget the assessments. It needs a new roof. It needs new flooring. It needs new this. It needs new that, of course.
That's
now, by the way, I think timeshares are just flat out awful financially.
Right.
And I don't think anybody should consider a timeshare. That's just my personal opinion. But that has nothing to do with the subject matter. If an advertisement says we're going to get you out of your timeshare, and in fact it does not do that, well, that's misrepresentation.
Right. But it sounds like these folks are about 75 folks, or let's just say there's 100 of them.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it's going to grow. Maybe this lawyer, I think his name's Greg Albert.
Yeah, he'll look for
more.
Right, he'll look for more. Sure.
Let's say they're all, but apparently, let's just say on average they're all out a $5,000 deposit. It's in his best interest to save his empire. He's got a reputation to take back with this. He's been trying to get this passed along more and more to his kids, running his Dave Ramsey empire and getting them involved with the shows. It's been, I think, a pretty big hit. So he's got to do something. So I think the big strategy to sort of finish this is, you know, he's better off just giving them all their money back. He's like, do you want to try to go to a court-appointed bankruptcy judge for timeshare exit team or whatever they were called? They're going to be up a creek if they're going to try to bang their heads against the wall to try to get that company to answer their phone. So Dave, it's probably in his best interest just give them their money back, and he's only out $500,000.
Yeah, it
that's,
you know,
my little math on this whole thing.
I don't know how the lawyer's going at it. Obviously, it's almost a form of a class action suit, and he's looking for the big bucks himself. We know that. You know, so it can go down in a number of ways. But, you know, it's a cautionary tale, because the suit alleges that Dave made about $30 million on commercial fees, which is not a small amount, to be sure. But when you have that level of a sponsor, I think that somewhere along the line it behooved him to, in fact, check them out. And if it's true, if it's true that dozens of listeners, in fact, notified him that this was fraudulent. See, again, this is what the lawsuit claims. We don't know if it's true. That's what discovery's about. But if it's true, then there's a problem with that as well. So there's too many unknowns here. And
if I could kind of summarize. I think juries and judges, you got to prove that Dave Ramsey did suffering on their behalf. And it wasn't Dave Ramsey's fault that they took on these stupid times.
No, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
That's right.
But no, that will not be part of what's heard. It has nothing to do with how stupid they were in taking out the timeshare.
But they're going to try to probably prove that.
Yeah,
they're only out these deposits, it sounds like.
Well,
so that,
no, I mean,
sort of a different.
Yeah, but some of these people are alleging it was $20,000-$30,000. So we don't know, that they were strung along and it was a lot of money. So we don't have those particulars. But no, you cannot attack the victim. You know, it's like for a rape victim, you can't say she wanted it. And that's sort of where you're going when you say, well, these people were stupid in doing it. That's off the table. You can't talk about that in the lawsuit. It will not be allowed.
Well, I like how you you tied it into DJs and old commercials. Cool. It's a very clever of you to.
Sure. Well, it's a common thing, yeah. And you can hear a number of national hosts advertising things that would make me blush. I don't know how much they know about what they're advertising. I can think of a few that I won't mention, but whether they even care. But my feeling is that you better understand that if you endorse a product, you are putting your name and reputation on it, and it's not worth a few bucks. And in Dave Ramsey's empire, $30 million is a few bucks.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays. Yeah, we'll absolutely see how it plays. And as far as Ain't That a Shame, I guarantee you, Dave Bartholomew got the money and split it with Fats. So he did. And of course, Lou Chud at Imperial would have given him the money. So that would have been a happy story.
Well, he always worked with Fats, apparently.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a number of other people too, but yeah.
Well, maybe one of these days you'll play all those versions of Ain't That a Shame.
Oh God, I probably
ain't it a shame.
Yeah, no, I probably won't. But maybe we'll play some other Dave Bartholomew stuff that few people have heard.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks
good deal.
So
all right, no thanks. Problem. Appreciate it, Don. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Can't wait to hear about those auditions and want to get that request. I'm like, let me get that request now. In fact, if it's something I can play next, I will. So, Michael, on the road, where are we going tonight?
Raleigh, we are headed back to lovely Escanaba, Michigan.
Ah, very nice. Another long road trip. All right.
It is. It's great.
Yeah.
Compared to Mokena a few nights ago. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And so what is it you want to hear as you drive along the highways and byways?
Well, after listening to Dennis, I just wanted to suggest that I would be delighted to contribute to an honorarium in Scotty's name. Maybe your organization could be the collector of all those funds and send it to the church in his honor.
Yeah, how I wish. I wish I had that kind of time and the ability to set it up properly. But all those are good thoughts, and I'll start by trying to gather some of his old calls that
That'd
we have
great.
And play that. So what do you want to hear?
I'd like to hear It's All Right by The Impressions.
Ah, a wonderful song. You'll hear it next.
Thank you, Wally. Take care now.
Thanks for
great
calling.
To hear your voice.
Yeah, and thanks for taking me with you. All right. So, yeah, I love to ride. I think I'm part St. Bernard or something. We'll get to Leah. Can't wait to hear about that audition. And you, too, if you want to call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. And, you know, I was ready to do this. I really was ready to do this. Then I read email. All right, that's coming up too. But gotta get to, our request.
Say it's all right.
It's all right.
Say it's all right.
It's all right,
it's all right.
Have a good time, 'cause it's all right. Whoa, it's all right.
We're gonna move it slow. When lights are low, when you move it slow, it sounds like a moan, and it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. Now listen to the beat. Kind of patch of feet. You got soul, and everybody knows that it's alright. Whoa, it's alright. When you wake up early in the morning, feeling sad like so many of us do, I'm a little soul, make life your goal, and surely something to come to you
and say it's all right.
Say it's all right. It's all right. Have a good time, 'cause it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. Now everybody clap your hands, give yourself a chance. You got soul.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is for Michael, taking me along for the ride up Michigan. All right, so 888-876-5593. And, oh, by the way, you know, Curtis Mayfield, I'm glad that that Michael requested that, because it would have been his birthday Saturday, would have turned 81. All right, so rest in peace. That was a tough life. And boy, especially in his early days, the great soul records he gave us. Oh, man. Yeah. All right, I was just thinking, girls are out to get you. That's one of my faves. Okay, so now, Leah and her singing audition. Okay, Leah, so welcome back to WGN Radio. How did it go?
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
Yes, it went well, the singing portion. I was very nervous, though. For some reason, I get so nervous at auditions. Once I'm on stage, my nerves go away. But at auditions, I am so nervous. Mm. And everyone was, it was smoky, and everyone was coughing, and their eyes were watering. And it was just not a good environment to go into an audition. And there weren't that many people there, but I'm sure more came later because it was going on till 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
it
what,
was up these.
What'd you
they
say?
Didn't have it in the main theater section like they usually have it. They had it upstairs in the rehearsal hall.
Okay.
And my ankle's very bad from when I fell, so I, of course I had to climb all these stairs with my ankle problem.
Oh.
Then I had to. So I was out of breath, and then they made me hit a mark, and then they said I had to have 32 bars of something to sing. I didn't have 32 bars. So I just sang 16 bars of Matchmaker twice.
Oh. All right.
Yeah. So, and then I, you know, I made some jokes about my teeth and stuff. I said, you know, these teeth are more realistic than anyone else's teeth because, you know, in that era in, you know, Eastern Europe,
right,
they probably wouldn't have had dentists,
right,
you know? You know, I had to, you know, address the elephant in the room.
All right. And so, with, yeah, you didn't explain you took a Dremel drill to him, but in any event,
no.
when do you find out?
I guess in the next week or so.
Okay.
I'll hear something, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. They didn't really make it clear.
Oh, interesting.
They said we might get a call back on Sunday, and
okay,
that's just for people who they want to hear from again.
Oh.
And then in about a week. But I think that's mainly for the starring roles.
Oh, really?
For the chorus, we probably won't hear anything for about a week.
All right. Well, good deal. I can't wait to hear the results.
Yeah. I hope it was all right, but
yeah, well,
I was so nervous.
See, the other thing is you didn't get to hear other people, so you don't know what you're up against.
Well, no, you do get to hear other people. You could hear them. We were downstairs, and we could hear some of the people.
So anyway,
very loudly. It's you know, live stage performances, so they really belt it out for the cheap seats, you know.
Were any of them laughable bad?
No, everybody was really good.
Really? Okay, so you got some tough competition.
Yeah.
Now, how many people are in?
I think they were all for main roles, though. I think the people were all trying out for main roles. I think I was the only buddy trying out for the chorus.
Oh, really? Okay, now with that in mind, how many people are in the chorus?
I don't know. There's a lot of people in the movie. I've never seen the stage production of it, but I've seen the movie a lot, and there's quite a lot of people in the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There's a scene. There's a wedding scene, and there's a lot of people in that. The whole town shows up for that. Maybe 20,
mm-hmm,
25 people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a scene where he's telling her about a dream that he had, and all their dead relatives show up in that. So that's maybe like 10, 15 people. And there are different scenes where the whole town is involved, and like at the end where, you know, where there's, and I think there's a lot more in the stage production. There's like scenes where the whole town sings and something else, you know, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I hope there's no dancing, but
Oh, man. Well, it's interesting. I wonder who's applying for the role of dead people. That'd be something to have on your resume. Oh, I played a dead person.
They could make me a ghost. They might make me a ghost. I don't know.
So it's a kind of thing where they might decide you're better for something other than the chorus?
Yeah. Well, no, that would be part of the chorus.
Oh,
the
chorus has ghosts.
Yeah. Well, there's a scene with ghosts in it, and that would be like an ensemble. The ensemble would do the ghost thing too,
uh-huh.
I think.
Uh-huh.
The wedding scene and the ghosts are where the ensemble comes in.
Uh-huh. Well, this is very interesting.
The dream.
Now,
dream sequence.
Does this pay you money?
No.
What? And why are you doing this?
For fun.
Okay. Oh, I envy you having this kind of time on your hands.
It's for amateurs, and you know, in Latin, amat means,
do
something for the love of it.
Yeah. All right.
That's what an amateur is.
Well, glad you've got the time.
I don't, actually. I mean, I do. I have the time, but I don't know if I'll have rides to the rehearsals if I get it, so.
Well, you mentioned hopefully. This is like a Swarthmore deal. Is this in Swarthmore?
Yes, it's right in Swarthmore, across the street from the Gulf Station, Players Club is.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not all that far from you, but yeah, you're right, you can't walk.
Yeah. Can't hitchhike either these days.
No. not reliably. Never mind the danger in it. You just wouldn't be reliable enough to be there on time.
That's true, too.
Well, I can't wait to hear the next part of the story.
Yeah, I can't either.
All right, let me know.
Okay, thanks,
Raleigh.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay, so all that talent. Yeah, and I'm not surprised, but what I'm really envious about is all that time. Oh, man. All right, the AI story. And by the way, your calls are welcome. They're urged. They're encouraged. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh, meaning that I'd come out of your speaker and drag you over to the phone if I could. All right, so here is the deal. Everybody's talking about how wonderful AI is, and you knew that there would be a lawsuit here somewhere. So let's talk about what happened. We got this guy who is a Salem Radio Network talk show host. Yes, I think it's a weekend show, Armed American Radio. And he is suing OpenAI after its ChatGPT program accused him of embezzling funds from the Second Amendment Foundation. Now, the problem is it's a complete and total hallucination. Yeah, the host, Mark Walters, doesn't work, didn't work, has never been involved with the Second Amendment Foundation, as far as that goes. And so here it is where AI has conjured together this story and created an event that is not backed by any data. And not only is he not named in the Second Amendment Foundation versus the Robert Ferguson lawsuit, which is part of it, but he's also never worked for the gun rights nonprofit. And so his attorney is having a field day saying OpenAI defamed my client and made up outrageous lies about him. And that's exactly what happened. So it's the first ever defamation lawsuit brought against OpenAI, and it's going to be interesting. It was filed in Gwinnett County, a suburb of Atlanta in Georgia. And apparently there was a journalist, Fred Real, who interacted with ChatGPT while researching the Second Amendment Foundation, which has a case against the Washington State Attorney, Robert Ferguson. And so Rail provided a URL to the complaint on the Second Amendment Foundation website and asked ChatGPT to provide a summary of the case. So the ChatGPT response said the document is a legal complaint filed by Alan Gottlieb, the founder and executive vice president of the Second Amendment Foundation, against Mark Walters, who was accused of defrauding and embezzling funds from the SAF. The complaint alleges that Walters served as the organization's treasurer and chief financial officer, and he misappropriated funds for personal expenses without authorization or reimbursement, manipulated financial records and bank statements to conceal his activities, and failed to provide accurate and timely financial reports and disclosures to the Second Amendment Foundation leadership. Now, that's a lot of information. And none of it is true. The AI-generated response explained that the plaintiff, the Second Amendment Foundation, was seeking various forms of relief and removal of Walters from its position as a member of the board of directors. So The bottom line is every statement of fact in the summary is false. And so the journalist further questioned ChatGPT about its summary that Walters was involved in the lawsuit, and the bot responded, "Certainly, here is the paragraph from the complaint that concerns Walters. Defendant Mark Walters is an individual who resides in Georgia, has served as the treasurer and chief financial officer of SAF since 2012. He has access to SAF's bank accounts, financial records, and is responsible for maintaining the records and providing financial reports." None of it is true. All right? So it's complete fabrication. And so, and you know, you wonder, where did it get it? And so, you know, the allegations are false. They're malicious. And that's going to be a little harder to prove, obviously, because, you know, a bot is not malicious of intent. And the journalist is, I don't think, malicious of intent either. So that's tough. But you don't need to prove it. They're false. And they were expressed in print. And they absolutely could injure Walter's reputation and expose him to public hatred, contempt, or ridicule. No kidding. And so by sending the allegations to the journalist, OpenAI published libelous matter. And so the talk show host, through his attorneys, is seeking relief of general and punitive damages in an amount to be determined at jury trial and reimbursement for court and attorney costs. Yeah. So this is, by the way, this is a Sunday evening show on Salem. And I think it's been on the air for well over a decade. It's like 8 to 11 ET at night. And, you know, but the guy has not held those positions, hasn't worked for this company, isn't involved. There is a lawsuit that has absolutely nothing to do with him. So you say to yourself, where did AI get this? Now, I have no other information, and nor did I try to check this out further. But I'm pretty much taking it on a statement of faith, and I would believe it, that the guy didn't work for them, that the guy isn't involved with them. This is going to be fun. 888-8, well, not fun for him, obviously, but for the rest of us as armchair quarterbacks, it's going to be a lot of fun. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and well, since I mentioned it, yeah, Curtis Mayfield wrote and produced it, and it came out on Mayfield, of course, 1967. The Fascinations. Girls Are Out to Get You. Figured I should play it. All right, so we've got Johnny and Austin back to those live radio endorsements. All right.
Well, before you do that, that song right there was one of my favorite songs ever done, and you mentioned Curtis Mayfield earlier.
Yeah.
I had a chance to meet him in 1967 when I was working part-time at KILT.
Mm-hmm.
He and the Impressions were in town, and they had a room over at the Holiday Inn on Main Street. And one of our other full-time disc jockey, I was part-time, was going to go meet him and get a couple of promos for him, and I went along and had a chance to meet Curtis, and he was exactly 10 years older than me.
Wow.
And a very, very mellow guy. He was just as kind and gentle as could be.
Yeah.
Just no ego, nothing.
He was so good. And especially, you know, his early stuff. Man, just great, great stuff. And, yeah. And what happened to him was just horrible.
It was an accident with stage equipment falling on him?
Yeah, right. He was appearing in Brooklyn, and it was a freak lightning storm and weather, and the lighting fell on him and paralyzed him from the neck down. And, you know, obviously he wasn't going to recover and didn't. And then diabetes set in and he wound up losing a leg and he had other problems as well. And it was just a cascade of horrible things because the accident happened, I think, in 1990 and he didn't die until 1999. So that was a long time.
I remember that when he passed because I did a special on him when I was in Austin.
Yeah.
And, you know, another great artist that you mentioned last night, if I would have known about you doing anything, I'd have sent you some a part of the interview I did, but I never actually met Jackie Wilson, but I did interview him on the phone. I had a friend who worked at Channel 11 in Houston. He said, Jackie Wilson's up here, and I think I can get him on the phone if you want to interview him. And I said,
Yes.
And that he was really nice.
That's great. Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear that. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
And that's where we'll pick it up after the news. We also have Brian in Jefferson City, Stacy in Algonquin, but more on those, live radio stories. And Johnny's got a ton of them coming up on WGN Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4. They say wise men never fall in love. Than a fool I'd rather be than never to know the true love that you have given to me. They say strong men never, never cry. Then I'm the weakest of them all, 'cause I cry my heart out every time that you don't call. I pay no mind to what people say, 'cause they're gonna talk any old way. Oh, they say dreams never come true. Then I must disagree.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Richard Popcorn Wiley. They say 1961, and sorry about the scratches, but it was an unreleased acetate. I think it's later shown up on CDs, but he was a session pianist for Motown. You heard him on Shop Around and Please Mr. Postman, and then he was the first head of A&R when they named one at the Motown Corporation, and then they sent him out as band leader for the 1962 Motortown Review. Boy, did he have stories, right? And he was quite a writer, too. Co-wrote With This Ring for the Platters and I Spy for the FBI by J.M.O. Thomas. So, yeah. All right. Richard Popcorn Wiley. Now, I played him for a reason. Right. He showed up at Carol's show prep, and now I'm not sure where. But, hey, I don't need a reason as far as I'm concerned. I just like him. But there happened to be a reason, and sooner or later I'll put it together. And, you know, I don't know when. In the meantime, we're talking to Johnny in Austin. So, back at it, Johnny.
Hey, I was telling you about meeting
Jackie Wilson.
Who was that? Yeah, no, I didn't meet Jackie. I talked to Jackie. I met Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah.
And then, well, I tell you, a guy who I had on my show, it was he co-hosted with me, and the guy was just incredibly fun. It was Percy Sledge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, you bring somebody in the studio that you've never met before, and you don't know how the chemistry is going to go. You have no idea what
right.
you're gonna, if it's going to mesh, if it's going to click. You just don't know. And so I think it was the first time Percy came was 86, probably.
Okay.
And he was, I mean, it was like we had been doing it forever. And he came back 2 years later. We did it again. And thankfully, I've got it all recorded on tape right off the air. It's just great. And then another fun interview, and I met Archie Bell 2 years before he had his hit The Tighten Up when he was parking cars in Houston, Texas.
Yes, and the Archie Bell thing, of course, you were there for the start of it because Skipper Lee's in this story, and of course the TSU Tornadoes are in this story.
Yeah. And then when I got to Austin to work in 99 through 2002, I don't know what brought Archie up there, but he came and co-hosted with me in Austin several times, and he was also just great to have on as a co-host.
I love some of his stuff. Now, last I heard, he was sort of recovering, but not doing too well. Have you heard anything?
I haven't, and I've got somewhere his phone number.
Yeah.
And I don't like to call people out of the blue, but I believe he had a stroke.
Yes, and that's what I had heard. And then I put an address for folks to write cards or whatever a couple of years ago on the site, which is probably long gone. But, yeah, I hadn't heard anything since then at all.
I have not either, but I do have connections to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but yeah, the TSU Tornado never got their just due for that, which is kind of a shame. But there were so many other Archie Bell records that didn't make it that were just terrific records.
Yeah, there were. Dancing to Your Music came later, and that was really good.
Yeah. I Could Dance All Night, Soul City Walk, you know, so many things like that weren't real big in the early days. But
when I reunited with him, now remember, I met him in 1966.
Right.
When I was at KYOK, he was parking cars. That's before you parked your own car in those multi-level parking garages.
Right.
So I met him there on a Saturday morning in 1966, and he says, you know, you work KYOK, because I had a T-shirt on with the
right.
call letter. And he said, I got me a group, and we're going to have a hit one day, and how many times did you hear that?
Right.
I was like, oh, well, I'm looking forward to it, you know?
Yeah.
And 2 years later, in 68, comes the Tighten Up. Atlantic picked it up. It's number one all over the place.
Yeah.
I never saw or talked to Archie since 1966 until 86.
Wow.
All those years went by, and then he comes up to KFMK, and we had a real good guy in our production department. And so I asked our production director, I said, is there any way you can get Archie in the production room and do a custom intro for Johnny Going on the Tighten Up?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I can do that, Archie. I said, Archie, would you be up for doing that? Yeah, I'll go in there. So they went in the production studio, and it sounds like it was mastered that way.
Oh, that's great.
Hi, everybody. I'm Archie Bell and Drells of Houston, Texas. When we not only dance, but we sing as good as we want or whatever it is. And in Houston, we tighten up with Johnny Going.
Oh, that's great.
And every once in a while, a listener would call up and say, man, I've heard that song so many times. I never knew you were he had your name in there.
That's great. Yeah.
But anyway, I got strung out on it. By the way, before I mention anything else, are you familiar with a song by Smokey Robinson? I don't even think it was a single, but it was an early one called If Your Mother Only Knew.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's on KJ.
Yeah. Can you? That wasn't a 45, was it?
As far as I know, it wasn't, but it might be.
Well, you might play that for me sometime. That's a great song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, The Miracles. I got it right here. Like I say, it's on KJ. So I will make it my next bumper.
We were talking about endorsements and the whole Dave Ramsey thing. I was always really careful about putting my name on anything.
Yeah.
I had it written, and my contracts weren't that big. I mean, the contracts I signed were very short and simple. I was lucky. But no endorsements unless I said it was okay. And when I put my name on something, I go out and meet the client, so on and so forth. But, boy, I'll tell you, I got really burned on one of them.
Uh-oh.
And my listeners did, too, and it was a company that sold mini blinds.
Uh-oh.
And here's the horrible part. They took 50% down.
No.
And I started getting calls from listeners. I ordered from whatever company it was. And their phone's disconnected.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. And I go to the sales, and now this is, I have to admit, I didn't meet these people. I went into it blindly and foolishly because it was an early period of my endorsement time.
Right, right. You didn't know what would happen. And the sales guy said it was okay, so it must be okay. Yeah, boy.
And I told the salespeople and the manager at the time, I said, yeah, we've got to make it right for these people. I don't know what the station did to remedy the situation. I mean, I don't think that many people got burned by it, but boy, I learned a good one on that.
Yeah. Okay, if your mother only knew was a 45 and 62 on Tamla.
Was it?
And it did not chart.
Well, it sure was good.
Yeah. No, I'll play it next.
But in terms of those live endorsements, I totally understand when you were doing that all-night, coast-to-coast weekend thing that you have said several times that they tried to get you to endorse stuff, and you said, no, I'm not putting my name on this.
Right, right.
I'm not going to do it, because that's really dangerous. I mean,
well,
that's your name.
Well,
if you don't have your name, you ain't got nothing.
Well, exactly. And, you know, they couldn't understand why I had a big problem with it. Literally. Could not
understand.
Well,
they wanted to make money. They didn't care.
Well, I did. So that's... I sleep at night, and I have mirrors in my house, so I'm okay.
But I'll tell you another thing. When I was in Austin, to my own demise, I had a salesperson come to me and say, oh, we got this car dealer that wants you to endorse them. And I said, who are they? It happened to be I think it was a Toyota dealer. Okay. Anyway, and I said, well, tell me about them, and I will talk to them. And I just didn't feel good about it. And I said, I told the salesperson, I think I'd rather not. Oh, that's fine. We'll get so-and-so to do it. At which time, the salesperson went to management and says, Johnny Goins refuses to do this.
Right.
I think that was partly to my demise.
Well,
because the next day I was called in and like, why are you refusing to do this? And I said, I don't feel good about it.
Right.
And I said, the sales rep said so-and-so, one of the other jocks, would be happy to do it. And I thought it was all settled.
Right.
And they weren't happy with that at all.
Well, yeah. And those are the kind of things that I set up front before I'd ever, you know, go on. It's so funny with contracts talks. So many disc jockeys look at how much am I getting paid and what's the vacation time. And to me, those are the small details. You know, what I'm working under is what matters. And absolutely the right to control whether I do an endorsement or a live read is part of that.
As long as it comes out of your mouth and it's your voice, whether you say, I'm Johnny Goins, and I strongly suggest that you use these people. I've used them. They painted my house, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter because it's still you.
Yeah. So there's the deal. So the only thing I endorse at the moment is the Seagrain Company. And
because you know them, you know the owner.
I like the radios. It's just as simple as that. I buy them myself. I pay my own money for some of them, you know. So yeah, love that pillow speaker too. Got to get another one of those. But
They've been around a long time.
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. And over the years, there've been other people that I've liked a whole lot too. He's no longer alive, but when the guy who had the soap company, this is the best soap. I still use it. Five stars. Yes, Calbin. I still use this stuff. And sadly, Marty's no longer with us, and they're all gone.
Remember he.
He was, yeah.
He did those little limerick rhymes.
Yes, soapy sales. But you know the soap is pure, and you can't.
I bought his product.
Yeah, yeah. I just bought another 100 bars. They had a sale. So,
really?
Yeah.
They're still in business.
They're still in business. Marty's no longer there, but they still have those wonderful bars, which you know you can even use as a facial soap, and I do. So I loved that. There was a guy from Australia for a while who had sunglasses. I loved his sunglasses. They were just the best. I mean, so I was happy to promote that. And a lot of truckers bought them, and I never heard anything other than they loved them. So, you know, if it's something that I really like, I'm going to go for it.
Well, and I mentioned one thing earlier when I called, and that is another thing. Salespeople were not real fond of me.
Well, which is not. You and I are in the same boat there, yes.
But they would go out and sell these remotes.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, that's an easy sell, but when you get put out at one of these remotes, you've got a nerve, especially if it's the business owner's first time doing radio,
mm-hmm.
You're standing out there naked. And this, you got the owner there saying, when are people going to start showing up?
Of course.
And when nobody shows up,
you're the villain. It's your fault.
That's quick money, but that's do or die right there.
Yeah, for a while, KOA, I think, had you know, I don't know that this is true, but an evil intent to drive me crazy, because they would send me all over the place to places that, you know, nobody should be doing a remote, and all through the state. But there was one they decided they were going to send me to a strip club, not making this up.
Oh.
But see, I knew something they didn't. And that something I knew was we had a weekend host who was also the conductor, the orchestra conductor for the youth ballet, okay? And I knew this. They knew that part. They absolutely knew this part. And Shotgun Willie's was the name of the place. I think they called it the Colorado Ballet or something. But anyway, it was a strip joint. And what I knew that they didn't was this youth conductor had a wife who was a stripper at Shotgun Willie's.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. She used to be a ballerina. It was a true story. She's a gorgeous girl. But she, had broken a foot or something or whatever and wound up being employed as a stripper. And so I said, you don't want me to go there? Yes, we do. I said, okay. And yes, I absolutely outed her on the air. There's Tom Jensen's wife, ladies and gentlemen.
Was that your first and last time?
No, well, at Shotgun Willie's, but no, they continue to send me places. Yeah.
And
so.
Did you draw a crowd?
In many of the places I did, but when there were places, the lobby of the Hilton in Grand Junction, I don't know why. You know, there were just some places that you don't know why you were going there.
Salespeople would sell anything.
Well, they would.
I'll tell you sometime about the fortune teller that they sold at one of the stations I was at.
Oh, God, yes. Yes, I'll
save that for another
time. I want that for our next call, because I can tell already that's going to be priceless. I'll listen to it, and then I'll give you mine about, it was another one of these kind of places, only the sales guy sold it, and it was one of those nudist camps in Florida. So, good deal.
Great. Okay, I hope you didn't have to appear that way, but we'll talk about that.
No, absolutely not. But yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, yeah. And you probably didn't get your fortune told either. But I can't wait to hear every word.
Thanks for the Smokey Robinson at some point.
Oh yeah, I will. I will get it on next in moments. I hope, assuming there are moments.
Okay. Take your time.
Okay. Thanks.
Have a good morning.
Okay. You too. All right, so I think we have moments. We'll find out on WGN Radio.
Why don't she want you with me? Why don't she want you with me? Oh, baby, I'm sure your mother means no harm. It's just that she's so alarmed to think of her baby in someone else's arms. Depends on what she tells you to do. Oh, baby, baby, I'm sure that if she knew how much I really care for you, she'd say, my son, I'm gonna give it to you. I know your love is true.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, I thought it was a great record. Didn't chart, though. Tamla, 1962. The Miracles, If Your Mother Only Knew. 888-876-5593. And Brian is in Jefferson City, Missouri. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right. What's happening?
Not much. Well, I know we're getting close to the end of the show, so
yeah.
I won't keep you long. Got a question. What is the, when they talk about stations being in like a large market or medium market, how do they determine that?
Population of the market and what counties are making up the market. In other words, if you're talking about, say, Atlanta, you've got Fulton County, you've got Gwinnett County, you've got Cobb County, you've got a lot of counties. Now, if you're talking about Los Angeles, you've got Los Angeles and not even all Los Angeles County. So it depends where it is, but population.
Mm-hmm. Is that based on their daytime coverage?
Or? No, it has nothing to do with coverage. The market population is not something that is determined by any particular radio station. It's determined by the company that's doing the ratings. At this point in time, that would be Nielsen. But back in the day when it was Arbitron for many decades, before that it was Pulse and Hooper and Trendex before that. But it was a situation where if a county was going to be added to a metro, like happened many years ago in Seattle, what they did was they added Kitsap County, which would be like Bremerton, to the metro. But enough broadcasters had to agree and approve on it, but it didn't matter about an individual signal.
Okay. So is WGN in a large market, I guess?
Oh, of course, because Chicago's the third largest market in America.
Oh, yeah.
You've ended the night, and I'd love to talk about this. Call me next week, and we will do it.
I sure will.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate it.
All
right, so there you have it. Yeah, plenty of things to talk about that. Well, apologies to Stacy and to James, but that's what we have next week for. We've got Monday Night Trivia probably after a game, because it depends how the Stanley Cup playoffs are going, but should be, I think, or maybe it is, maybe you have a full show Monday night. Figure it out. That's right. I'm sorry to say that, but figure it out. I used to know these things. Let's see. All right, I'll look them up. So unknown. Well, we'll see what happens. I don't think there is a game Monday night the 12th. There's not, but there may be Tuesday. So we'll talk to you Monday night at 10 o'clock. I'm glad we had this discussion. It's settled. All right, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. And again, apologize to those of you that we did not get on, but we will do it next week. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.